Nukes. No Nukes was the name of a 1980 triple live album produced by Muse, the Musicians United for Safe Energy, from a concert held in New York's Madison Square Garden in September 1979. It is also a key Barack Obama 2008 campaign promise, a world without nuclear weapons. Critics charge that Obama's No Nukes policy also bears another resemblance to the best-selling rock album. Both sounded good, but neither had any realistic chance of accomplishing the policy goal they proclaimed. On October 2, 2007, in a much ballyhooed speech given at DePaul University, Obama declared a new beginning, announcing, "America seeks a world in which there will be no nuclear weapons." The idea sounded right for a New Age candidate promising to transcend all differences and resolve by new thinking such complex conundrums as nuclear weapons, which have terrorized the world ever since we dropped the first bomb on Hiroshima in 1945 as a step to end World War II. We should probably be relieved that in the next sentence, Obama made clear he did not intend to pursue unilateral disarmament. How then does he intend to pull off the magic of making nuclear weapons go away? He promised to work with Russia to take U.S. and Russian ballistic missiles off hair trigger alert. Okay, we can all agree that is a good idea, but how will we do that? Perhaps we should ask the Russians to promise they will think hard about launching a nuclear war before sending the missiles flying. Next, Obama announced, "We'll start by seeking a global ban on the production of fissile material for weapons." But what happens if China and North Korea simply ignore the global ban, or worse, agree to the global ban with no resolve to keep their promise? Finally, Obama stated, "We would set a goal to expand the U.S.-Russian ban on intermediate-range missiles." So the agreement is global. Again, this is unlikely to impress Iran's President Ahmadinejad and Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who seem determined to develop a new class of missiles beyond the Shahab 3, most likely with the purpose of visiting a nuclear weapon on Israel. Obama next argued, "As we do this, we'll be in a better position to lead the world in enforcing the rules of the road if we firmly abide by those rules." This is truly the crux of Obama's argument. Because the United States does not demonstrate moral leadership, other nations have no choice but to proliferate nuclear weapons. A bit earlier in the speech, Obama took a not very well disguised swipe at what he likes to call George W. Bush cowboy diplomacy. Returning to his theme of talking with our country's enemies, Obama again tried to justify his position. "When I said that as president, I would lead direct diplomacy with our adversaries, I was called naive and irresponsible. But how are we going to turn the page on the failed Bush-Cheney policy of not talking to our adversaries if we don't have a president who will lead that diplomacy? What happens if these nuclear power adversaries are unimpressed? When I'm president, Obama promised, we'll strengthen the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty so that nations that don't comply will automatically face strong international sanctions." Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. For years, the UN International Atomic Energy Agency has issued report after report documenting Iran's refusal to bring their nuclear program into the inspection and compliance requirements the agency has clearly demanded be met. President George W. Bush has worked through his second term in office to negotiate with Iran, first through the EU3 of France, Germany, and Great Britain, and then through the International Atomic Energy Agency itself. The administration has imposed sanctions on Iran through the UN Security Council. But despite all this effort, Iran continues to enrich uranium. Despite all this diplomatic pressure, China continues to buy massive quantities of oil and natural gas from Iran, while Russia sells Iran advanced surface-to-air missile systems that Iran uses to harden its multiple nuclear facilities against air and missile attack. Meanwhile, Germany and France, two additional permanent members of the Security Council, continue to allow corporations within their countries to negotiate contracts with Iran, even to provide assistance to Iran with their nuclear technology. Obama's DePaul speech on nuclear weapons bears a lot in common with his later Philadelphia speech on race, A More Perfect Union, which he gave responding to the attacks over his pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright's angry anti-American sermons. In both speeches, Obama proposed to take an issue, nuclear proliferation or racial injustice, to a higher level. His suggestion was to reframe the questions so the country could have a new national debate that would lead to breakthrough ideas and new solutions. This approach would certainly get a top grade even at Harvard. Yet what are the new ideas? Countries have nuclear weapons because their enemies have nuclear weapons. Does Obama truly believe Israel will wait indefinitely for Ahmadinejad to build a nuclear weapon that can be delivered on Tel Aviv? Israel struck Iraq in 1981 when Saddam Hussein was building a nuclear reactor at Osirak. In September